Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to Science Speaks. Join us as we study the book of Genesis and learn more about our Creator and how He has created all things.
Do you ever wonder how everything came to be? Well, you can certainly find lots of ideas in the museums, movies, books at the library. But are all these things telling us the truth? Well, that's a question that Nick and Christina are going to explore right now. Let's go listen in.
Nick, look at this book I got from the library today. It says that 20 million years ago, there was an enormous explosion. They call it the Big Bang. It says that over the next 10 billion years, the gases condensed into stars and planets.
What does condensed mean?
I think it means that the gases got sticky and the atoms just started sticking together. After a few billion years, there were enough atoms to make our sun.
Is that true?
Well, it has to be true. They wouldn't print it in a book if it weren't true. Besides, look at this cool picture. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Well, I don't know if it could be true. I mean, who would take a picture in the middle of a huge explosion?
Well, it looks like a picture.
I think it's just someone's idea. I think it's just a drawing. Not a very good one. I could do better than that.
Well, maybe that's part's just a drawing, but look at the picture of all the planets forming in our solar system. And here's the Earth. It says the Earth formed 4.5 billion years ago.
Hi, Mommy.
Hey, guys. What are you reading?
Christine's reading a book that says the whole universe started over 20 billion years ago with the Big Bang. Mommy, is that true?
Yeah, Mommy, is that true? The pictures in this book look so real, and the writer seems so sure of what he's saying. Is it true?
Let me see that book.
And look at this page. It says that the dinosaurs died out over 65 million years ago, long before there were any people on the Earth. Is that true?
And what about this part that says people evolved from ape-like creatures? Is that our ancestor? It looks like something that belongs in a zoo, not in our photo album.
Okay, guys, let's take these questions one at a time. First of all, who wrote this book?
Let's see, it says some guy named Mike.
Okay, so some guy named Mike says the universe is 20 billion years old and you believe him? Do you believe everything you hear?
Well, usually.
Then how come you don't believe me when I tell you it's time for bed?
Well, that's different.
Well, I think you guys are getting your information from the wrong place. Let me ask you this question. Who would you rather believe? Some guy named Mike who was born 45 years ago and wasn't there in the beginning, or God who was there in the beginning?
Well, God, of course.
Then how come you're reading Mike's book and not God's? Look, I have my Bible right here. How about if we go back to the beginning and read all about it in God's book? We'll see how it compares to Mike's book.
Okay. Sounds great.
If you want to know how everything began, you need to go all the way back to the beginning. You know, in the Bible, that would be the book of Genesis. In fact, Genesis means beginning. So actually, the first book in the Bible is where God tells us of the beginning of all things and all time. Genesis 1:1 says,
"In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth."
This is the first verse God records in His book, so it must be pretty important. So before we go on, let's just take a minute and talk about this. See, the words "in the beginning" refer to the beginning of time. But does this mean the beginning of God?
But I thought you said God had no beginning.
Well, that's right. Very good, Nick. The Bible tells us that God is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning that He had no beginning and no end. But His creation had a beginning, and it's described right here in verse 1. It's as though God wound up a great big clock and started it ticking right in verse 1. Now let's go on to the next word.
If we keep going one word at a time, it's going to take forever.
I heard that. The word "create" in verse 1 means that God made everything from nothing. In fact, He just spoke it into existence. And it's used only for creation by God. You see, people can make things, such as, well, you know, like the other day when you were making something from Play-Doh. But see, you were using something that already existed.
Play-Doh.
That's right, but where did we get the Play-Doh?
Play-Doh powder.
Play-Doh powder? What's that?
Well, he's got the right idea. One of the main ingredients in Play-Doh is flour or cornstarch. But who made the corn and the grain?
God did.
That's right. So when we make things, we're just using creative ideas for combining what God already created. But when God created, he didn't start with something that already existed. He began with nothing and created everything. Now let's go back to Genesis 1:1. It says,
in the beginning, God created the heavens.
I think here he means that he made the space into which he would put everything that he's about to make. Okay, now let's take that last word.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
It means he made matter.
What is matter?
Atoms and molecules. But note that verse 2 says that the earth was formless and empty. See, God made all these atoms and molecules, but he hadn't yet formed them into anything, and there wasn't any life anywhere yet. He hadn't made that yet. The last half of the verse reads,
and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Some Bible scholars tell us that this means that God began to energize this matter. Okay, now verse 3, God said,
let there be light.
And there was light. He separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now remember that light is just another form of energy, and there are many other forms of energy besides light. So when God said, let there be light, he was really saying, let there be energy. He made all the mass in the universe, and then he energized it. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. On the second day, God begins to bring some order. He said,
let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water.
And he called the expanse sky. So the waters below, of course, would be the waters on the earth. And the waters above could mean the water vapor in the upper levels of the atmosphere. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Now we're on to the third day. And God said,
let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear.
And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds.
And it was so. All the incredible variety of flowers and trees, bushes and grass, he made all of these on day 3. And he made each one to have seeds that would grow into other plants just like itself. So in other words, seeds from an apple tree would grow into an apple tree. Seeds from a daisy will grow into a daisy. They reproduce after their various kinds. By the end of day 3, the world must have been a beautiful place. But, you know, there probably wasn't a whole lot of sounds, just gentle water sounds and probably the gentle breezes as the wind. Hey, hey, I said gentle breezes, not hurricanes. Oh, phew, that's better. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And now we're on to day 4 in verse 14. Oh, day 4 must have been really majestic, because this is the day that God spoke into existence the sun, the moon, and the stars. He said,
let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth.
And it was so. So he made the sun to now be our main source of light during the day, and the moon is our main source of light at night. See here where he says he let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years? Well, do you know how we can use the sun, the moon, and the stars to tell time?
Well, we can use the sun and the sundial to help us tell time during the day.
That's right.
And since we know it takes the moon a month to go around the earth, then we can watch the phases of the moon to tell the length of the month.
Very good. Of course, by adding up these months, we can keep track of a year. That's what we do with a calendar. But we can also use the stars to tell us the time of the year, because as the Earth goes around the sun during the year, we can see different star constellations. By keeping track of the stars, we can tell the time of the year.
But, Mommy, how could the planet survive since God didn't make the sun until after he made the plants?
Well, remember, on the first day, he made light. So the plants still had light, just not from the sun yet. It came from a different source. Besides, they only had to wait one day before they got the sun. So there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Now, on day five, it starts to get really exciting. God begins to add animal life to the earth. He said,
"Let the water teem with living creatures."
So he made all the fish, and the whales, the dolphins, and all the water creatures.
What about frogs?
Frogs. Well, I guess amphibians, like frogs and toads, they might be considered water creatures because they are born and they live most of their life in the water. They might have been made on day five. But he wasn't done yet. He also said,
"Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky."
So he made all the birds. The sparrows and the crows, the ducks, roosters, all the birds. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said,
"Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth."
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Now, in verse 23, we get to day 6, when God begins to populate the earth with land animals. And God said,
"Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind."
And it was so. Now, each according to its kind means that each kind of animal will have babies just like it. So, for example, cats will have cats, horses will have horses, and so on. All the land creatures were made on day 6. That would include lions, dogs, horses, elephants, goats, and...
What was that?
Oh, that's the behemoth.
What's a behemoth?
Well, you can read about him in the Book of Job. He was a great creature with an enormous tail that would swing like a cedar tree. Kind of sounds like a sauropod dinosaur to me.
Dinosaur?
Well, sure, the Bible says God made all the land creatures on day 6. Dinosaurs walked on land, so that means they were made on day 6. Now, when God finished creating all the land animals, he saw that it was good. He wasn't finished. Hey, would you guys hold it down? I'm trying to talk over here. Phew. Okay, that's better. But he wasn't finished. He had yet to create his special masterpiece. God said,
"Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground."
So, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them.
That's how many, right?
That's right. We're told their names in chapter 2 of Genesis, but we'll go into that in more detail later. So God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So, Nick and Stina, that's the true story of how God made everything.
Whoa, that's amazing.
The Bible sure tells a different story than this book from the library. This book says the earth formed about 4.5 billion years ago.
But we'll see later when we get to Genesis chapter 5 that it couldn't be that long ago. In fact, we'll see the age of the earth is somewhere around 6,000 years.
Wow, I guess we need to be very careful when we read these books. It would be pretty easy to begin to believe all these books from the library instead of what we read in the Bible.
Yes, you must carefully guard your mind. In the end, we all have a choice to make. Are we going to believe what God tells us in His book? Or are we going to believe the ideas of men? Ideas, I might add, that change over time as scientists discover something new or have a new theory?
Hey, Mommy, I have an idea.
Yeah, what's that?
Let's go to the library right now and return this book. I think next time I'd just rather read the Bible.
And next time, before we check out a book, we should make sure it agrees with the Bible.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
All right, everybody, get your shoes and let's go to the van. Let's go to the library.
Well, boys and girls, that's all for now. Did you learn anything new today? I hope so. Nick and Stina sure did. I hope you'll be back and join us next time as we study our way through the book of Genesis.